It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is a pre-recorded program presented by KSL News Radio and Intermountain Healthcare. Healthy Mind Matters, brought to you by Intermountain Healthcare. We discuss the important community issues of stronger mental health, emotional wellness, and the growing problem of addiction. Here's our host, Maria Chaleos, on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Mind Matters. Today we are talking about opioids and how they're not the same and how you can use them for pain treatment. With me is Kim Campani. She's the Executive Operations Director for Pain Management Services at Intermountain Healthcare. And Kim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
First of all, start out, Kim. We've been talking about opioids, I don't know, a couple of years now, talking about the epidemic of opioids and how pain management really needs to change. And Intermountain has had this entire effort in getting people to really realize that they aren't, opioids aren't all made the same. They're not the same. So first of all, give us some update on how it's going. How are things progressing as far as, are people getting the message? Are they realizing that they really need to think seriously before taking opioids for pain management?
Thank you, Maria. I first of all want to start off with making sure we thank everybody for the awareness around this topic. We know that opioid overdoses and death have been a big focus throughout our state and also throughout the country. And at Intermountain Healthcare, we've had really great efforts over the last few years. From 2017 to 2019, we really came together as a system and tried to figure out what could we do to help combat this epidemic. We are really proud to say that we decreased the number of opioid tablets prescribed by 36%, or over 6.6 million tablets. And so that's phenomenal progress. Not only are we trying to appropriately treat patients' pain, but also keep fewer tablets out of people's medicine cabinets where others could have, inadvertently get into them. We've also had some really great success with prescribing, the co-prescribing benzodiazepines, and those are medications used to calm or sedate people, things such like Valium, Xanax, Klonopin. So that's that benzodiazepine category. And opioids. When those benzodiazepines and opioids are used in combination, they are very harmful for patients. And so we've had a 49% reduction in that effort. And so we're really thrilled about this. And while we know that we've had some great success, we realize there's still a lot of work to be done because we don't want to have any overdose or deaths associated with opioids. So we're kind of building upon that success that we've had in the past, but we're shifting our focus a little bit, not only on the number of pills that are prescribed for patients, but we're now focusing on what's called morphine milligram equivalency, or MME is the abbreviation for it. We know that not all opioids are created equal. Some are more potent than others. There's many different factors that come into play depending on the potency, the strength, and what's prescribed. And so by looking at morphine milligram equivalency, we're able to look at all opioids, kind of like with comparing them to apples to apples. So we can make sense as to how they compare as far as strength, potency, and potential harmfulness to our patients.
I'm wondering what you're hearing from doctors, because you had to have buy-in from doctors and patients as well. What are the doctors saying? Are patients actually getting the message and really getting more involved in the management of their pain?
You bet. And I think all patients, I mean, nobody wants to be in pain by any means, but we have so many great ways of treating pain now that aren't always focused on opioids. Now, opioids do have an appropriate place in certain pain management arenas, but not necessarily in all arenas. So this topic of morphine milligram equivalents, this is, many providers are aware of this. They're familiar with it, feel like this is the right direction for us to go. But for some of the public, this is going to be a new topic and a new way of thinking about opioids. And you know, and I think maybe encouraging patients to start having some discussions with their providers about what is the potency of my opioid? Because we know that as the potency or the MME for the medications go up, the risk to the patient significantly go up. And Maria, I think it's also important to point out kind of what's been going on nationally as well as locally with opioids. So in the, you know, we've had nationally with the opioid epidemic, we've had kind of three rises or waves, I should say, in opioid overdose deaths. The first one occurred in about 1999, which was a rise in prescription opioid overdose deaths. Then about 2010, we started to see a rise in heroin overdose deaths. And then the wave three is kind of started around 2013, and that was a rise in synthetic opioid overdose deaths. So there's kind of been these three different waves that we've been looking at and trying to figure out solutions and the best way to treat patients for pain. Now, one thing that's unique is I think we should talk about Utah opioid overdose deaths and how it's different from the nation. In fact, in Utah, we continue to see those trends, like I mentioned, in the different waves. But in Utah, we actually have, we prescribe more opioid prescriptions than most of the rest of the country. In fact, we only have three states that have higher prescribing rates for opioid prescriptions. So I think this really calls into play our focus on, because on opioids, not only are we hearing so much about those synthetic opioids that are maybe illegally manufactured, but still knowing we have significant to work as far as opioid prescribing practices.
Okay, go back and talk about why you think that is. Why are we prescribing more?
I don't know that we necessarily have one solution to that or one idea, but I think there could be a multitude of things. Is that, you know, we're really in tune and we're a healthy state. And so patients in Utah are far more likely to go talk to their providers if they're having issues or troubles or pain. And pain and opioids have been, you know, a solution. Many of us grew up, many of us providers, healthcare professionals grew up when treating pain was kind of like the fifth vital sign. Like, we need to make sure that there is no pain for patients. And in fact, we've learned a lot along the way, and we're seeing that, you know, pain can be treated in alternative ways. And when opioids are appropriate for the certain type of pain, we need to make sure that we're prescribing the lowest doses or the lowest MMEs possible to keep our patients safe. There is, Maria, just so you're aware, that as the doses increase, specifically as we get higher than 50 morphine milligram equivalents based on those tables, patients are two times more likely to have a risk of overdose. But it's not a linear correlation, meaning as those MMEs escalate and as we get greater or higher than 90 morphine milligram equivalents, the risk for overdose events increases by tenfold. So I think that's why we want to bring awareness around this topic and really start discussing MMEs with our doctors, our dentists, and with our patients, so everybody's aware of this concept.
Right. I think most of us, whether when we go in for a surgery, don't really think about the strength of the prescription medication we're going to be receiving. We trust the doctor. We've come out of surgery. The doctor's going to give us something for that pain, and we're going to go home, right? So this is kind of a different way for us to be thinking about it, and especially for those maybe people who have gone through, like my husband, who's gone through, like, you know, two dozen surgeries. It's going to be something he's going to be want to be more aware of, because the strength of his doses may be changing when he has another surgery, correct?
You bet. And just even knowing things, morphine milligram equivalency helps us to understand that fentanyl is much more potent than oxycodone. Oxycodone is much more potent than tramadol. So it helps to level set and give kind of an equal playing field when determining which opioids to prescribe. We do know that as those MMEs go up for prescriptions or opioids that are prescribed, it helps us to identify patients who maybe need closer monitoring, who maybe could help benefit from the reduction or tapering down of opioids in a systematic approach. Of course, we never want to transition somebody off of opioids abruptly, because that could cause a whole host of issues. We want to do that in a very thoughtful, concerned way. And it's also, it's great when patients and providers can have informed decisions and informed conversations about what's best. And patients feel good that all of their questions have been asked to the providers, and they also feel that they've gotten the answers back, so they feel good with that plan moving forward.
Right. We need to take a break. And you're listening to Healthy Mind Matters on KSL News Radio. Today we are talking about opioids and their use in pain management. And we'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.